from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, folks. It's Tuesday. It's Locked On Chiefs, and we're going to flip the script a little bit and talk about the defense some today. We have some interesting input from Matt Miller, who we talked to briefly, and we're going to have on the show next week, so make sure you're ready for that one. A little bit of offensive news as well. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and analyst over at ChiefsDigest.com.
And I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and a staff writer for Arrowhead Addict. Thank you all for listening. Go give us a rating or review on iTunes if you would, please. If you would put your Twitter handle in there, you will be eligible for a PFF Edge subscription. And thank you all for the reviews that you've given us this season.
Yeah, and that's still going on. Access to PFF can be year-round. There's a lot to glean from the information in the offseason in particular. So keep bringing that through, and we really appreciate it. We're going to have more offers for you coming from different partners and sponsors as we move through the offseason and definitely as we get ready to kick off camp next season. Little bit of news, and that is that Philip Rivers has pulled out of the Pro Bowl. And lo and behold, that makes Alex Smith – now going to a Pro Bowl after being the best downfield passer in the league with the best turnover to interception ratio. A lot of things that make him marketable, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do we think that he really didn't deserve to go to the Pro Bowl to begin with? I mean, honestly.
I think he was snubbed for Rivers in the first place, right?
Well, I don't know about Rivers, but yeah. I think he deserved to be one of the Pro Bowl quarterbacks this year. I thought he played very well.
I agree with you. And it's something that I realize this is a tough spot for Alex Smith, but I want to give him credit, not only for this season, but for the way that he's dealt with it and how he's going to deal with this. This is going to be an interesting couple of months for him. We're talking about, the league year starts, I think, the 3rd of March, if I have the date in my head correct. I'll have to double check that one. But, the next couple of months are going to determine what's going to happen with Alex Smith. I know there's teams interested. I've heard from a number of people who have confirmed that. It's just what the market thinks he's worth. And I think the Pro Bowl only helps that. Looking particularly at a couple of teams in Jacksonville, Arizona, and Cleveland that I think could use him in one role or another. But I think this definitely helps up the ante a little bit.
Well, and the funny thing is you're looking at a position, you're looking at a guy that could possibly be putting on a Chiefs helmet for the last time.
Exactly. And we didn't think that before. So maybe not in the uniform, but definitely in the hat, right?
Yep. So, and it's kind of, I mean, he has brought a lot to this franchise, and he's very undervalued for what he has done for this franchise, and fans continue to underestimate his value to what he has brought to this team. And I really wish that wasn't the case, but I get it on everybody's part, to be honest, because it's really frustrating to watch a team that you think has the ability to go so far and then for them to struggle the way they have. And a lot of that has been on him.
Yeah, and if whether you agree with Seth's take from the playoff game against Tennessee or not, or if you've even looked at it, I know he did a great write-up with his normal gifts and everything else. Check that out. The fact of the matter is, whether that particular game was on him or not, there have been others that have been. And these two teams that we watched over the weekend kind of confirmed to me that Tennessee getting blown out by the Patriots when, 3-4 months ago, the Chiefs did the same to the Patriots, leads to what that offense was not able to accomplish. And a lot of that falls on the quarterback. Watching Pittsburgh lose to Jacksonville. And again, a year removed from the offense not being able to do their part to score enough points to beat those Steelers. I think it all comes back to it.
You say that they lost to Jacksonville. I will say this. We will see how Blake Bortles plays in the AFC Championship game, but I'm not so sold that at this point that he's going to be a landing spot for Alex Smith at this point, just because he is actually taking his team to the AFC Championship. It'd be really hard for a team that's been in their kind of turmoil to make a move that quickly.
And that may be true, but when I look at what happened, and this is something that I just loved – that you look at a team that the Chiefs lost to a year ago because they ran the ball so well. But the Jacksonville defense was able to limit Le'Veon Bell. 16 for 67 yards. While as rookie Fournette got 25 carries, goes over 100 yards, 4.4 a carry, and you didn't have to put it on Bortles. Bortles threw 26 passes, only completed 14 of them, barely over 50%, for a little over 200 yards in a TD. The bulk of the weight, I felt, was covered and carried by Fournette. And that makes me go, we have an established running game at this point, maybe a phenom in the making. We have a defense that, yes, they gave up 42 points to the Steelers. That was definitely not their best day out, but they've been one of the elite defenses in this league all season long. Now you take it and you have a journeyman quarterback that if you were to supplant or at least compete with a guy like Alex Smith, who is going to generate more passing, he's not going to turn the ball over. I mean, that looks like a formula for a team that can win in an old school way in the years to come.
My argument there is that they were fourth or fifth worst record in the NFL over the past 6 years. Maybe you make that move. I'm not going to, I guess I won't argue that, but I will say that I would be very shocked if the Jaguars were the team that really was going to go make a move after winning this game. Obviously, things happen, so we'll see where it goes from here. But, I think Alex Smith, Cleveland's a good option. I think there's other teams that are going to be interested in his services. Arizona might be one of them as well.
Yeah, I agree. And it's good to see that for him because I think he deserves to be someplace. I mean, obviously he doesn't have total control. If he gets traded, he gets traded. But, he finished in the top 10 in yards for the first time in his career, broke 4,000 first time in his career. His QB rating, I think I have to double check, but I do believe he still finished the league leader in qualified passing attempts. He did, beating out Drew Brees and Tom Brady. It's one of those things that, yeah, maybe they're reluctant to make a change, but if they're going to do it, this is the time to do it for a guy who's at the peak of his career and clearly took another step forward this season.
Yeah, no, he absolutely did. The question is can another coach get the most out of him? And we'll have to see that going forward. I would think that Cleveland is a place that maybe he ends up going. Familiarity with John Dorsey could really lend a hand to that. So we'll see how that plays out.
And I'd like to see what Hugh Jackson can do with him too. I think Hugh's at a desperation point in his career as well as just his tenure in that town. And being aggressive, I think, is something that he's going to be more apt to do. And I think it worked well for Smith this season. So let's see if that comes to pass. Now tell me, I know you had a brief conversation, at least over Twitter, with Matt Miller, and folks, we are going to have him on next week, so stay tuned for that one.
Yeah, and one thing that he tweeted out that I thought was very interesting is that this is a very deep draft for running back, tight end, cornerback, and safety. Three of those positions are big needs for Kansas City.
Yeah, and as much as I like Eric Murray, I think safety is definitely something that they need to invest in the future on. I think Dan Sorensen has proven me right once again that he's not a long-term answer. Don't know about Parker. Barry back from injury, although I have faith Barry will return to 95% of his previous ability. Corner for certain, and I like that you brought up tight end because I think that's a spot on this team that can really help them move the offense forward as a backup tight end too.
Funny, because I was trying to get you to say that on yesterday's show, but you did not go there.
No, I have to keep you on your toes.
Oh, well. you and everybody else.
And, those are the positions I will definitely look at. And, all through the offseason, folks, if you've followed me forever, you know that I'm going to give you the rundown on what I think fits, not just who's a good pick in general, but who fits the Chiefs scheme in particular, both offensively and defensively. So that tight end one is a group that I think is going to be really intriguing. We'll kick that off soonly after the Senior Bowl.
And you're going to enjoy a lot of that because this is your time of year. You absolutely love the draft. I like it, but it's one of your passions. I get it. So a lot of good information coming your way from Ryan and from Rogue Analytics.
Yeah, I geek out. This is where championships are built, in, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll have plenty to talk about. And next week, like we said, folks, Matt's going to make some time to come on the show for us. If you don't follow Matt Miller, I don't know why you're following us. But the BR report, big on quarterbacks. I like a lot of his takes. Don't necessarily agree with all of them. But a guy who knows the draft, does the scouting, it has a lot of information that you can see about where your team is going based on who they draft.
And you're never going to agree with everybody on their takes. If you did, that would make life dull. So, and Matt, you know, honestly, I'll give Matt credit. I followed him for a long time. He has always been very gracious and very good about acknowledging other people's points of view on players. So if you want to have an open conversation about the draft, he's a great guy to do it with. Looking forward to talking to him. Do we really have to talk about the defense?
You've drug it out long enough. We have to.
Please.
Nothing's happened. Nothing. And I don't mean to discount Jay Valai, who was hired as a defensive quality control coach, formerly the University of Georgia. Yep, there's another dog now on the staff, not in the locker room. But that aside, that's a very low-level hire for this defensive staff, and I'm not trying to discount that. But in the end, it's not just Bob Sutton still there. There's been zero changes on the defensive side of the staff, and it begs the question: are they waiting for somebody that they have their eye on, or is Andy just loyal to a fault and they're going to ride with their guys as is?
Yeah, and I don't have an answer to that, but what I will say is that I'm okay with him not making any changes to the defensive staff if they're making a change at Sutton, because to me, you don't go out and get a coordinator and give him the guys you want. You give him an opportunity to have a say in who he brings in and who's going to be there. So I like to – I'm okay with it as long as they're still making a change. But, you know, at this point, we don't know if they're making a change.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And that would kind of almost make sense that because there's been no movement at the assistant level, that maybe they are looking for a guy at the top. And like you said, every coordinator is going to bring his own guys with them, at least in part. But let's run it down real quick.
Or he should have at least a say in who he's going to bring in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't argue with that at all. But you know, we have to look at what this Chiefs defense is, and here's what it comes down to for me. And I know there's a lot of back and forth, and probably there's a lot more folks on my bandwagon about Bob Sutton not being the coordinator right now than there has been at previous times in this season. But this is the bottom line for me. You have talent. You're not getting it all from them. Is your outlook that you think remaining with the defensive staff as it is, with Bob at the top, as well as some of the assistants, that this is somehow going to improve as players get older? Because I'd like to have somebody make an intelligent argument about that, because I don't see any way that can possibly happen. I think there's a lot of room for movement on this staff right now.
You're going to be looking for somebody else to make that argument with, because I'm not going to try to have it with you. I've been wanting to move on from Bob Sutton for a couple of years now. He's just not... He lacks the killer instinct. He doesn't attack when I think he should attack. And I understand you can't be in attack mode all the time. Although Wade Phillips would certainly have something to say about that. But you know, I think they need to make a change. And I don't know how you bring him back and continue to have that defensive locker room and think that they're going to get better, because you know, I think he's the main problem.
And it all flows from him. Yeah, right. It all flows from him. And there are a couple of guys, though, that I will say, and we can go through this person by person if you like, or we can just hit the highlights. I'm glad that Andy Reid's son is a coach. It sounds like he's a fairly competent coach. I wonder if the comfort level is just not there. And I feel like the defensive line group, the young ones in particular, need a more hard-nosed position coach to drive them and get the most out of them. I'm unhappy with the progress that Chris Jones made in the second season in terms of his potential. And I think R&R is likely to come back. I think they kind of have to tell you the truth. And I want to see someone push him farther ahead than he is as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there, and there's going to be questions as to whether or not there's going to be changes on the defensive line. And I think they're going to have to look at it, just because – you know, you have a situation where you have a guy like R&R and Chris Jones, you would really want those guys starting. And right now with the players you have, I don't know that you could have, I mean, you could have both of them start, but I don't think you want to have them start and have Alan Bailey as a backup. As much as I love Alan Bailey, the Hulk, I don't know that he's back in Kansas City. This is the last year of his deal, I believe, anyway. So it's possible he's going to be gone in the offseason, which would shake things up for the defensive line overall.
It certainly would. And, you know, I like the steady aspect of Alan Bailey's play. Did he improve this season? I don't think so. But I like where he is. He is a rock that I think goes unheralded quite often.
Oh, no, and I like him. And I agree with you completely. I think that he's a good player, and I don't necessarily would like to see Kansas City move away. I'm just saying I'm not sure that they have a choice.
Yeah, and the way the contract's built, like you said, were they to let him go this offseason, he counts – $2 million against the cap versus his $6 million total hit. I'm sorry, $8 million total hit. So it's just a possibility that it may happen just due to numbers. But that's also including that you think you have somebody who can play the nose. And right now, the three guys that we have been talking about, I don't think any of them should play the nose. So you're talking about trying to either get Benny back, or you're talking about finding another specific zero tech nose tackle.
Right. But you can get those guys later in the draft. So I think that there's going to be options there. Now, whether or not you really want a rookie being that guy, who knows? But do you really want to pay Benny Logan more than, you know, $8 million a year and sign him for 3 or 4 years? I don't know that you do. I liked what he brought to the team. I think he was underrated as well, but, really hard to make that argument with as bad as they were against the run at times, even though I don't think that's fully on him. Linebackers really didn't help the situation. I thought he did pretty well most of the time. But, you know, I can understand why fans are not very happy with the production they got out of paying him $8 million this year.
Yeah, and that's fair. Whether that happens or not, we'll have to see. But either way, whether he's back or not, if he's back, he definitely needs somebody to get up in his grill and get more out of him. I thought he was solid but unspectacular, like you said. They need a bit more from him if he does return. And even if he's not here and you have younger players, that's more about development than just motivation. But either way, I think a change of the defensive line coach is probably likely, and through no fault of Britt Reed's, I think a change of scenery is probably good for his career as well.
Well, and the other thing about Benny that we didn't talk about is that, you know, he played most of the season, and I don't know that he was 100% ever all season. How many practices did he sit out? And maybe that's just a thing that he's going to always be dealing with. We don't know at this point. So, you know, we'll see how that turns out for Kansas City. There's a lot of things that are going to be going on for this team over the next couple of months that we're going to find out a lot about where they're going to be next year, because, you know, they're going to have a lot of moves to make. Derek Johnson, not going to be back for his, you know, $8 million a year contract next year. Tom Bahali, not going to be back next year. Alex Smith, not going to be back next year. They're going to make a move at safety and release Ron Parker? I wouldn't think so, but possible. You know, it really depends on what they think they have and what they think that they need in money-wise to go and be competitive.
I agree. And one of those position coaches that we need to talk about, I think is at a kind of a crossroads, but I think should be retained, is Gary Gibbs. And he's the guy who coaches the linebackers. I think what you've seen from Reggie Ragland and his progression is important. And I think continuity for both him and KPL, as well as Oligwe, who you're going to look to see more snaps from next season. Well, I think that's important.
And that's assuming that they get KPL brought back, because he's a free agent this year.
That's very true. I got to think that's one of their highest priorities, though.
I do too.
They made that trade on purpose, and I think it worked out for them.
Yeah.
Another guy that I want to talk about, and he's a legend. You cannot say enough good things about Emmett Thomas, Hall of Famer, Ring of Honor. I mean, it goes on and on and on, right? I know he's advanced in age. I'm not sure if it's something he wants to continue doing. If they're going to make a DC change, I have to think that that's a possibility that Emmett Thomas either retires or just steps away from the team in some fashion, maybe to more of a assistant head coach thing rather than a position coach. And I think that's only allowed. I think that's only an acceptable outcome because they have Al Harris. I think Al Harris is extremely good at getting as much as he can out of his guys. I don't think Terrence Mitchell is near as serviceable anywhere else in the league if he doesn't have Al Harris coaching him. And I want to see him get some fresh blood and a guy with real talent to be the number two. And you roll with a quality number two draft pick, Peters and Nelson, and let Harris coach him up and be the guy in charge. I think that's great.
Well, and so I can't argue there. Who knows what they're going to do at defensive coordinator? Who knows what they're going to do at all the different position coaches that they got to get figured out over the next couple of weeks. We can hope that they're going to make a move with Bob Sutton. We can hope that that's going to make other moves for Kansas City and their positional coaches, because I think there are going to be some changes made if they do change their defensive coordinator. I am with you. I'd like to see Gary Gibbs back. I think he is a good linebacker coach. And I would like to see Derek Johnson back just in a reduced role and a reduced salary. But, there's changes coming, and that's unfortunately the way the NFL works. And, got to go with it.
Yeah. One guy that I think has been talked about quite a bit, but I don't see any change coming, is Andy Heck.
Do you
think that's even a possibility?
I wish.
Yeah, I think new blood could be used along the offensive line as well. I don't like the idea, and it came out mid-season or something, how they're coached that they make the same blocks no matter what position they're at. And that may work because of the zone scheme, but there are definitely specific traits that I think are underutilized in some of these players, and I put that at Andy Heck's feet. So I don't know, maybe Eric Bieniemy might have a little influence, but I can't see a change really coming.
I wish there was, but we'll have to see what they do. I would have thought that if they were going to make a move, they would have already done it in that regard, or at least there'd be rumors out there that they were going to make a change. But it doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. So sounds like they could be with Andy Heck again next season, which I think is is disappointing.
Well, hopefully we have some news to share with you eventually, and they do make some kind of change on the defensive side. Remember, this is a team 28th in the league in allowed yards, 29th in allowed passing yards, 25th against the run. The only thing that they've done is the bend, don't break thing worked relatively. They were 15th in the league in points given up. And given how bad they are statistically against the rest of the league in other categories, that's still a significant thing. You'd like to see them get in the top 10 in at least two or three of those categories,
the biggest,
based on the talent.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the bend but don't break strategy is you're allowing a lot of yards. You're allowing your defense to be on the field for a lot of time, which is going to cause them to break a lot longer, a lot later in the season, because they're going to be worn out from what they've been dealing with throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the big deal. Well, we will keep you informed as soon as we hear any hints. Definitely, if an announcement is made, we'll have the rundown for you. And we're going to be back in the next couple of days continuing to dig into more of what the status of the Chiefs are right now and where they need to be looking at going in the next week or 2 weeks, definitely before the Super Bowl, in order to get ready for the 2018 season. Hit us with all of your questions. We're going to do another mailbag. We had a lot of fun doing that, and folks liked it. So hit us with all of your mailbag questions. Hit the hashtag LockedOnChiefsMailbag and send it to LockedOnChiefs at Twitter. And thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.